Hello, welcome to the Rebel Room podcast. Ryan Green and Christine Killemeyer here. It's a little overdue, but we're talking UNLV Wyoming.
We just didn't want to talk about it too soon. Too painful.
For them. Well, it was painful to watch.
I was going to say, and for those watching and covering, it was, for those of you that only had to listen, be grateful that your eyes were spared.
Yeah, it was pretty ugly to say the least. We're going to talk about that. We're going to be joined by Dan Hinksman from the Reno Gazette Journal to talk about UNLV-UNR coming up this weekend, and we will offer up some thoughts as well on UNLV's rivalry game as the 2-2 Rebels head north to face the rival that they have not beaten since 2004 and now need to more than ever. But let's first talk about UNLV-Wyoming, and you said it best. It was ugly.
It was very brutal. It's definitely, I mean, come November, this is definitely be a game that they'll look back. I mean, they already are looking back saying this is a game we should have won. And, I mean, this is a game that could cost them in the long run, that could cost them their entire season, which is kind of sad.
You know, when we looked at the schedule before the season, you know, you look at there were certain games where if this team wanted to get to at least 6-6 and get in postseason contention, this was one of the games they had to have. And there was no question about that, because this is one of the games that they should have won.
Absolutely.
You throw out the road conference losing streak, this is still a game they should have won, because this is, coming into the season, this is a team that people didn't expect to do much when talking about Wyoming.
I almost think that this, I mean, that's part of the problem, is that everyone kind of wrote it off as a game that they thought, they're going to win this one. And, I mean, I don't know if I would ever label this game as with the look-ahead theory, because I don't feel that from the players, but I definitely think it was a game that was overlooked because it just appeared to be so easily winnable. And, I mean, give that true freshman quarterback credit, making his first career start. I mean, he looked good.
Yeah.
He looked very good. And, it's definitely a regrettable loss.
Of course, that's in reference to Austin Carter Samuels of Wyoming, who...
How do you let a guy with a hyphenated name beat you? I'm sorry. I just got to put that up.
It's a good point. I mean, because this kid showed something that he had not shown before. I mean, he looked okay in limited duty for the Cowboys, but 24-37, 234 yards, 3 TDs, and he also picked up another 34 yards on the ground. And, boy, he was just using his feet to just confuse the UNLV defense left and right.
Not only confuse him, he for a little guy, man, was he slippery. Like, I cannot tell you how many times you'd see, I mean, yes, Beauchamp is not 100%, but you'd see him break through and not able to bring him down. He only registered one sack in the game, the only sack of the game, and it took until the fourth quarter for him to do that.
In the fourth quarter.
Exactly, yeah. And you'd see, I mean, Tui would get through, but unable to bring him down. He was just very, you know, he's a very mobile quarterback for a little guy. Mm-hmm. And clearly was relishing that starting role. I mean, I guess with his pedestrian numbers beforehand, he was just waiting to get that breakout start. So, give him credit.
I think there's something to be said for the fact that, you know, he was splitting time the first three games. I think there's something to be said for the fact that maybe you get that pressure of having to look over your shoulder off.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you said it. We were talking about it on the drive back from the game. I mean, sheer genius installing a spread no-huddle offense in that altitude.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you and I both noted how gassed that defense looked. I mean, on top of the confusion, I mean, they definitely looked confused. Yeah. I don't know if we really quite know exactly where that confusion stems from, if it was just a powerful Wyoming offense. Never thought I'd say those words altogether. But or if it was, you know, it's something on the Rebels' end that they really need to get worked out. But they definitely were gassed. I mean, all the time you saw guys, as Wyoming would continue to march down the field, you saw guys hunched over, sucking wind.
And that's the thing. You know, UNLV, in the grand scheme of things, had fewer offensive snaps had more offensive snaps than Wyoming. Wyoming had 71 offensive plays, but they made them all count because, like you said, that no-huddle offense, the defense never has time to rest. And not only on top of that, you know, they would get up there and they'd either snap the ball really quick or they'd look like they were going to, and then everybody would look to the sideline for another play call. And I think it just kept UNLV's defense on edge enough. And, you know, look, UNLV's defense had been bad enough the first three games. The last thing they needed was to go against a no-huddle offense with all these wrinkles in it. And, I mean, yeah, credit the Wyoming staff for really taking advantage of that.
Taking advantage of that 7,200 feet, whatever it is. Yeah. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was just standing on the sidelines. I was sucking wind walking up and down the sidelines. I can only imagine how much wind you'd be sucking if you were actually, like, playing a football game.
We got to Denver on Friday. I had a throbbing headache from the altitude for about the first 6 hours we were there.
It's amazing. Like, I don't think you could really talk about the altitude enough. It sounds stupid and it sounds like a cop-out, but it is, until you are in that atmosphere, it is definitely a factor. I will wholeheartedly say that I'm sure that that played a huge role in the game. But, I mean, supposedly that's what the Rebels train for. One of the reasons why they go up to Ely in, you know, the summer for fall camp.
Which is 6,500 feet.
Right.
Yeah.
And I still, you know, like being, I mean, you and I were both in Ely. You and I were both in Laramie. You definitely notice it in Laramie. I didn't notice it as much in Ely.
No.
You notice it in Laramie.
And you talked about the genius of installing that offense there. I mean, think about if Dave Christensen, who, of course, was the mastermind behind Missouri's offense the last few years with Chase Daniel, if you can get the pieces there where you can run that thing efficiently and keep, I mean, talk about a home field advantage. They might build maybe the best home field advantage in this league.
Oh, I would easily say in the league. I mean, and unfortunately, it probably would be overlooked nationwide, but I definitely think, I mean,
and that place can get loud, too.
Exactly. Yeah. I will definitely say, I mean, it's a very small stadium, but I was thoroughly impressed with the turnout. I mean, half the stadium's under construction, so that part obviously is not going to be filled up with people. But War Memorial Stadium was packed, and there was a little tiny corner of Rebel fans there.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, that was all Wyoming, all Cowboy fans, and they were all there and ready to cheer on their team. I mean, Texas struggled against them in the first half because, again, I think it was that no-huddle spread offense in that altitude. Texas didn't know what
Texas
was coming.
Texas didn't know what hit them.
And then they woke up and realized, hey, we're a Big 12 power, and we can beat these guys.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, it definitely can have an impact on a game.
And they've got some scheduling, some heavyweights scheduled in the next couple of years with non-cons. I think they have a series with Nebraska coming up, a series with Oregon. They want to get their name out there, and credit them for that. But Let's turn the table and talk about UNLV, because I think there's a lot of issues here right now, and I think the first and foremost, you got to talk about the turnovers. Four turnovers. This is a team that hardly turned the ball over last year. I think 13 times total, and they already have, I think, 8 in four games.
It really is mind-boggling how, I don't know if it's defenses are figuring out this Rebel offense. I mean, Omar Clayton was fairly new on the scene last year. I mean, he had played the year before, but this is his first time starting and everything for the entire season and really knowing the offense. And I don't know if it's that defenses haven't figured out or what, but, I mean, we came into this season thinking this is going to be a dominating offense, and it's struggling.
Yep.
And that was the one thing everyone thought you could count on with this Rebel team was the offense. Everyone knew the defense would still be spotty, and, yes, they brought in the JUCOs, but you knew that was still going to be a growing process.
Absolutely.
For the defense. But offensively, I almost feel like they're taking a step back compared to where they were last year.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, this is not a team that is good enough to be able to turn the ball over four. I mean, the fact that they turned it over four times and still had a shot to win the game at the end is a testament. But
I mean, it's the same thing with the Oregon State game.
Yeah.
They turned the ball over and they had no business being in that game come the end of the game.
They're just not good enough to be able to do that.
No, and it's already bitten them twice, and I mean, they managed to turn it around for the Hawaii game, but that is an issue that definitely needs to be fixed immediately. And I think you and I also talked about it too, not having Ronald and Anthony there. I don't think people realized how much of an impact that was going to have not having Ronald and Anthony there, but it definitely, I think, had a huge, huge impact.
Because we're starting to see this offense get to a point where when they get in the red zone, teams are doubling up on Philip Payne. People ask
secrets out on that one.
Why the fade isn't being thrown? It's because there's always safety help. But you know, when you have another 6'5" receiver to throw in there, you know, we pointed back to that one play where Clayton was rolling out. It was in the first half, one of those drives that ended with a field goal, rolling out right and wound up firing a pass to the back of the end zone. He wound up throwing it to Mark Barefield, where you know it went off his hands and out of bounds. If Rylan Anthony's back there, you can put that ball higher up and it's probably caught.
And the play before that, he threw a similar fade to Michael Johnson,
who was about 5'7" on a good day.
I know. Yeah. So there's two plays right there that easily could have resulted in 6 points had number 84 been there.
Did you get the sense watching this game? Because I kind of thought this, and in the first half, you know, UNLV on the opening drive has the snap go over Omar Clayton's head. They lose a fumble. They hold Wyoming to a field goal in the red zone. They get up 7-6 on them. and then get the ball in the red zone, get a field goal. Wyoming, they're Wyoming's down 10-6. They try a fake punt for whatever reason on 4th and 4 from their own 26. They don't get it. UNLV has a chance right there to go up 2 scores before halftime. They get a field goal. Wyoming winds up scoring a touchdown at the end of the half to make it 13-13. Did you kind of get the sense that those two missed opportunities kind of just completely invigorated Wyoming after their score? You knew that that game was going into the fourth quarter. That team was not going away at that point.
They definitely were a rejuvenated team, and they had some great momentum to take into the locker room with them at halftime to be tied with a team that easily should have already put them away, which, I mean, Jason Beauchamp said it. Like, this is a team that needs to put – this UNLV team is a team that needs to learn to put teams away right away and stop giving their opponents the opportunity to stay in ballgames with them, because that's when – the Rebels beat themselves when they still allow a team to hang around with them. They just get defeated because they realize, oh, man, too late now.
Yeah.
We waited too long trying to destroy this team, and now, you know, they're hanging with us, and now we're tired, and now, you know, we can't keep up. And
that killer instinct might have would have been good to develop the last few weeks, especially considering what's on the horizon now. Now you go up to Reno, and then you follow that up with back-to-back home games against BYU and Utah. This is easily going to be the toughest stretch of schedule the entire season. And how much easier would it be for the Rebels if they were, say, 3-1 as opposed to 2-2?
And probably needing two
of these three games.
When you really look at it, they could be 4-0 going into these games. And
they could also be 1-3.
Right. But the thing is, their losses are to themselves. Their losses aren't to Oregon State and Wyoming. Their losses are to UNLV because they are beating themselves. They have the opportunity. I'm not sure. Honestly, I think to this point, it's completely mental. And it's going to take a lot of mental fortitude to go on the road to Reno and beat a team that you haven't beaten in 5 years. Well, 4 years, and then this will be the fifth.
Before throwing it over to talking to Dan Hinksman, we talk about the mentality of this team, and at what point do we start looking at it and saying, maybe it's the coaching, maybe it's the preparation. I mean, I know it's the gorilla in the middle of the room, and it has been for a couple of years. At what point do you think this year that really gets thrown under the microscope?
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of fans out there that, you know, have been saying that since day one.
Yeah.
I think that's an easy cop-out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's always easy to just blame the head coach.
Yeah.
Always easy.
He's always the, yeah.
Exactly.
Always.
It's
People don't realize Mike Sanford isn't even the one that calls the plays.
Right.
You know, but you're right. I mean, that's always the easy scapegoat.
But you got to think at some point, if they're unable to ever get over that hump, I mean,
it's true. You know, I think these next 3 weeks really tell us a lot.
Yes.
You know, I think this is where, and I know it sounds like we're saying that almost every week, like we're going to learn a lot about this team next week. But these next 3 weeks really show it, because, you know, if they beat Reno, can they carry it over and getting one of those two home games? If they lose to Reno,
can they gather themselves, pick themselves up?
Do they tailspin? Because we remember how awful October was for them last year. You know, can this team get to the point where they're not playing catch up like they were last year after that losing streak? These 3 weeks, I think. I'll almost say it almost feels like Mike Sanford might be coaching for his job these next 3 weeks.
We were saying that last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right about this point last year, we were saying the same thing. And it's – the thing is, I mean, you and I have talked about this ad nauseum. And these players, you can tell, like Coach Sanford and want to win not only for themselves but for him. Mm-hmm. I think that does say a lot for a coaching staff. If the player – regardless of the situation your team is in, if the players still want to play for you.
I think it said a lot last year when that team got down to – 3-6, and didn't throw in the towel.
No.
And so far this year, you know, you're right. Players respect him. They like him. I think if it was a situation where they were playing for, if they were playing for an asshole, you know, they might at this point say, well, screw
forget
it.
This. We don't need
but
this.
But that's not the case.
No.
So I guess now, I guess the one thing you can say is I don't think there's much expectation of this team to ever throw in the towel at any point this year.
No, I would definitely give him credit with that. It's, as much as they seem to get defeated in games, and, you know, I mean, they all seem so dejected after this past game, which, I mean, you can't really blame them. But they don't give up. They don't quit. they don't quit on a season. They never quit on a season. Mm-hmm. And I mean, at this point, I know a lot of fans are quitting on the season. Season's still young. Yes, there's a tough stretch ahead, but I mean, they've only played 4 games.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. There's 8 left, and it starts with Reno this weekend. So with that said, before we talk about Reno, here is a few minutes with Dan Hinksman from the Reno Gazette Journal, who covers the Wolfpack, talking about this week's game, talking about Reno a little bit. Take it away.
All right, well, we're joined now by Dan Hinksman from the Reno Gazette Journal to talk about Saturday's UNLV-UNR rivalry game up in Reno. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Hey, you bet, Ryan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. To start, how's Chris Alton Company doing? 0-3. A lot of people didn't expect that at this point in the season. Is this a team that still has the hunger for this rivalry game, or is this a team that maybe is on the ropes right now, on the verge of a knockout blow?
I think the answer is both. I don't think Chris Alt will ever let anybody on this team not respect the rivalry. Deep in his heart, and always a big game year to year. Clearly, these first 3 games haven't gone the way they wanted them to, the way they expected to. They didn't play well at all in the first 2 games. Last week was a big step. It was a loss, but at least they showed that they can play better. They still made a couple key mistakes that were very, very critical in the outcome, but I think they have a better overall feeling about where they are and how this won't be a deep-seated problem.
Yeah, I watched that game Friday night. It seemed like the offense I didn't see the Colorado State game, but saw the Notre Dame game, and it did look like a more efficient offense, at least. Is there any common theme you've seen in the first 3 games that you can pinpoint to what's led this team to be 0-3 right now, which is something that a lot of people didn't expect?
I think that's the hardest thing. That's the hardest thing to try to figure out is what really does cause a team to turn the ball over. In the first 2 games it was 8 times and not have a single takeaway, have 15 penalties. Almost every one of those turnovers and penalties was in a crucial situation. Are they not prepared well enough by the coaches? The coaches Alt himself has taken some heat for that. He's pointed the finger at himself. It's hard to understand how that's possible. They came back with all of their coaches. They were one of only, I think, 18 teams in the country to return their entire coaching staff. All's been here since, Moses was walking the earth. So it doesn't make sense, to hear that they're not prepared well enough. They certainly should be. I don't know if maybe they thought that this was going to be a really good year for them and they felt, maybe they felt a little too good, about things, a little too good about themselves. But given the early competition, I don't think that was an issue either, because they're playing 3 teams that, all were either ranked or getting votes in the top 25.
Yeah, and Nevada has struggled early in the season before. This isn't the first time this has happened, but in a season where there were a lot of people saying, quote unquote, potential BCS buster before the season started. Have you noticed the 0-3, early struggles being a little more deflating this year than in previous seasons?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it's so much the fact that they're 0-3. I think it's the way they played. Losing to Notre Dame at Notre Dame is no crime. But playing way they played, Colorado State. The lines the sports books had Nevada favored by a field goal in that game, and they were never in it because of the turnovers. It's certainly been deflating, and last week I think, could have been huge. If they would have had another bad game, I think that really could have turned them into a spiral that they couldn't get out of. But they played better. There were only really 2 critical mistakes. The first off punt by Tawa that ended up knocking him out for this week's game with a elbow injury, and then the fumble by Lippincott. In the fourth quarter, they were going into tie the game with a 2-pointer. They would have tied it. That really deflated them.
Well, let's talk logistics here with UNLV, UNR. Last year, obviously, Wolfpack pretty much did whatever they want against the Rebels' defense. Do you see them kind of taking the same approach this year as they did a year ago, just kind of keeping it on the ground, running it? They threw it too. Do you kind of see them trying to carbon copy last year's success in this one?
Well, I think they, you know, they certainly want the same kind of success. How they're going to get there is tough. Usually I kind of have a feel for that. But, you know, Ault has really wanted to bring some balance into this offense. He's really wanted to try to, you know, add to the passing attack. That hasn't been there yet because mainly it's been a pass rush issue, I think. It's kind of thrown off the timing of their passing game. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot of new receivers in their, you know, in their attack. They only had one guy coming back who caught more than one ball last year. So I think the whole timing of the passing game just isn't up to snuff yet. And Ault still wants to improve the passing attack. But you know what? If they can run the ball and keep the ball out of Omar's hands, then I think they're going to do that. And, you know, pass when necessary.
Well, speaking of the running game, Vitale, you mentioned he's out this week, has the elbow injury. How does that change things? You know, what has Luke Lippincott looked like coming off of his injuries from a year ago? And do you think Colin is the same player he was a year ago?
Yeah, Colin's struggling a little bit with his confidence, I think. He looked a lot better this last week. He threw the ball better. And even Ault said he played better against Colorado State. But, it, you know, his fumble in the first series was the one that really kind of set the tone. So his head hasn't, you know, been completely right so far this year. As far as the running back situation, I think really it doesn't really affect them that much. They've got some good depth at running back. Lippincott, of course, has been there before. He had a 1,000-yard year in 07. You know, and really the key to their running attack is the offensive line, and they've done a very good job run blocking. They pretty much dominated the line run blocking against Missouri. They've struggled pass blocking, so that's been an issue there.
Now the you mentioned the Chris Ault not letting the significance of this rivalry game get, you know, being lost on his team. Do you kind of think this matchup is kind of what this team needs to keep its focus here after an 0-3 start? They need something emotional to keep them on their feet.
Yeah, it might be the perfect time to face face the Rebels. They're certainly going to be there emotionally. I don't think they're gonna have any problems as far as that goes. And then, you know, also just from the standpoint that they played better last week gives them a little bit of momentum, hint of momentum considering where they were the first 2 weeks.
Well, before we let you go, we got to get a prediction from you. I mean, this one obviously is a very tough one to call.
It is. It is.
Two teams that are very desperate in you know, I know it's a cliche, but they're both in must-win situations. How do you see this one shaking out?
I don't have my prediction going in the paper till Saturday.
Okay.
And I really haven't come to a conclusion yet. I just walked past our publisher about 20 minutes ago, and I said this one really is a coin flip. Mm-hmm. UNLV is much better this year. Both teams really, really, really need this win. I think it's going to be a great game. UNLV's played great games every week, it seems. I don't see why this will be any different. I think if I had to pick one today, Nevada's the team that's making the more mistakes. I know the Rebels made some mistakes at Wyoming, but just going on recent history, the team that makes the most mistakes in this game, I think, is going to have the biggest problem. So I would have to lean to UNLV right now.
Wow, very interesting. And if people want to see your official prediction, they can log on and check out the Reno Gazette Journal online.
Yeah, that'll be Saturday.
That'll be Saturday afternoon. So thank you again, Dan, for joining us.
You bet, Ryan. Thank you.
From the Reno Gazette Journal. And be sure to log on and read their stuff leading up to this game. And we'll see you Saturday.
All right, sounds good, Ryan. Thanks.
All right, take care.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, well, thanks again, Dan. And back here, Ryan Green, Christine Killemeyer are going to talk UNLV, UNR now. You know, we talked about the mental aspect of things for UNLV, and we talked about it with Dan a little bit. You know, that's a team up north that's just as much on the ropes.
If not more so.
They're 0-3 right now after a very tough, you know, people were talking BCS Buster with this team before the season started. Now they're 0-3. But Dan made an interesting point, you know. They did not play well the first two games, but at least against Missouri, they played well. So he tends to think that UNR is kind of clinging to that, thinking that maybe there's something ahead? Because this is a team that has a history of starting slow, and then they just get fat and happy on that weak conference schedule.
Not only that, but I will say the caliber of talent they have played up to this point, far superior to what UNLV has played.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it's a Missouri team that's not, you know, quarterbacked by Chase Daniel, but it's still a very good
Missouri
team that's going
to
make.
They've played three teams that are going to go to bowl games.
Exactly.
This year. Let's be real about
exactly. it. Exactly. I mean, the only team that, well, I mean, heck, Wyoming may be making a bowl run.
Right.
You never know.
At this point, you never, yeah, exactly. they're early in the season and they're 2-2.
Right. But still, I mean, you look at the powerhouses that that Nevada has played, and it's, I feel like something like that. I mean, it's, you never, it's a slippery slope comparing the previous schedule, comparing, you know, opponents from beforehand, but it's still, I mean, I think Reno is very hungry for this win. They need it.
Mm-hmm. This is going to be a very emotional game because, you know, like we just said, two teams that are in, as cliched as it sound, quote-unquote, must-win situations. And I know that that phrase is so overplayed in sports, but, I mean, if there's ever a week where it applies for UNLV, this is it.
Yeah, I almost think, though, it's even more must-win for Reno.
Mm-hmm.
You almost got to say that. And I mean, obviously, we don't know the players on the team. I don't know if that's going to be enough for them to get up for this game or, I mean, I think, I mean, maybe they, you know, are so exhausted from the games that they've already played. Maybe it's to the point now where it's just like, well, we'll just, you know, dominate in conference schedule. You can never really, you can't really tell with a team, especially a team that we don't really know that well. But I know one thing's for sure. This last year's senior class went out without ever having won the Fremont Cannon.
Mm-hmm.
This class, this senior class wants it.
Mm-hmm.
Wants it more than anything.
Mm-hmm. And they've been talking about it for a couple weeks.
Right.
So, I mean, obviously you mentioned Reno and, you know, head coach Chris Ault. He's a little kooky. We all know that. And, you know, we expect his team to be there mentally. UNLV, they've narrowed the focus this week. Players being hidden from the media for whatever reason, which is a first under Mike Sanford, as he talked about yesterday, talking about needing to narrow the focus, avoid distractions. Do you expect these tactics to work and get these guys? I mean, I guess,
at this point, it can't hurt. I mean, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, you try everything. I mean, you just got to, at this point, pull everything out of your bag of tricks to try and figure out how to get this team to get over that hump in a game, finally. And they have a big challenge ahead of them. Colin Kaepernick, we all remember last year what he did
five
to that
total touchdowns.
I know.
And, yeah.
He owned that Rebel defense. This defense, not coming off its most stellar performances, it needs to have a good confidence boost going into this game. It needs to have as much focus as humanly possible going into this game on the road where the Rebels struggle.
How confident can UNLV fans be in this UNLV defense after seeing what happened to them with a mobile quarterback last week? And this guy, you know, they thought Austin Carter Samuels was tough to tackle. this guy's 6'6" or whatever he is. He's a strider. I mean, he is very tough to get hands on, and they saw that last year. That was one of the worst tackling performances we've ever seen. UNLV has not recovered a fumble this year. I mean, is there any reason to believe that they can slow this guy down?
Honestly, I think the best, you don't contain, like, they know they can't contain him. It's more you just try to lessen the damage as much as humanly possible. So this really is a game that relies solely on the Rebel offense.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to take care of that ball. They, you know,
they need long drives.
They need to get touchdowns in the red zone, not field goals, not keep hanging around with a team, not keep relying on field goals. They need to get six when they are down in the red zone.
Right away.
Exactly. And it's, they need, this offense needs to take advantage of as many opportunities as it can, when it can. And because I think we all know, it's, again, the defense, you're not going to stop Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to do it. Especially this defense. They know they're not going to do it. It's just, you try to limit the damage as much as humanly possible.
I think that's the best way to put it. and UNLV's shown that it's comfortable getting into a shootout. Would they like to? Probably not. But this week it might not really be an option. Two teams playing desperate football. I think this is actually going to be an interesting game. It's too bad nobody's going to be able to
see
it again.
what is the deal with TV right now? CBS College Sports is airing the Bishop Gorman Green Valley High School game. Nothing against Gorman and Green Valley, but I'm sorry. Let's get some crews out up to Reno and get this game on TV.
I couldn't agree more, and I think there's a ton of... Yeah, but let's get some predictions here before we go. Is this going to be a game that UNLV fans will wish they could have watched, or one that they'll be glad was not televised? What are we thinking?
I'm sticking with my glass half full. They're going to wish they could watch this. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm just an eternal optimist and want to believe in this team and in Coach Sanford and in these players. And I think they'll be able to pull this out. I think it'll be an ugly game, but yeah. I think they'll be able finally to paint that cannon red.
I think it's a coin flip, and Dan Hinksman said the same thing. He's actually leaning towards UNLV. He won't make his official pick until Saturday, but given UNLV's recent road woes, I'm going to lean towards UNR. I think there's a reason they're favored in this one. But would anything surprise me this weekend?
Seriously, no.
No. This has been such a weird start to the season, and to think that it's only a third of the way over.
Exactly.
Well, for full coverage coming up this week leading up to UNLV UNR, you're going to have everything on our site, lasvegassun.com/rebels, plus 702.tv, the Vegas sports scene, airing
Thursdays, 10:30, Vegas TV. Watch, enjoy, love it.
And channel number?
14 if you have Cox Cable, 25 if you're satellite.
Perfect. So that will get you prepared for UNLV UNR. And on game day, even though it's not televised, log on to lasvegassun.com/rebels, for full coverage as the game is going on 1 p.m. Pacific time this weekend. For Christine Killemeyer, Ryan Green, we will talk to you during the week.